I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember O'Donnell?
Yeah. Here.
Councilmember Page?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard from Councilmember Page.
I haven't either. He may be joining us late, but we have a quorum, Mayor.
Okay. So our first item on the agenda is discussion of the council's social media policy. Mr. Linehan. Were you able to join the living then? You got your power back and...
Yeah, we were out of commission for a little while, but the internet spirits revived and the electricity came back on and...
My power came back on at like 7:15 in the morning. It went out at midnight and came on at 7:15. And that's really unusual for our street because we're a dead end road and nobody cares about us, you know? So 6-7 days.
The perks of being the mayor.
Yeah.
Ours is still out. They're not saying until Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a people on the other side of the lake that had so many trees down that they're just going from neighborhood to neighborhood to get them up. So I know there's a whole bunch of people on the other side that it's usually us. So it's weird that it's the other side this time that doesn't have power. You can look out and it looks dark. You don't know there's houses out there.
That message from Julian Lowe was great though, explaining that it's not just lines down, it's equipment that got smashed.
So. Yes. Yeah. I'm sure Transformers blew. That happens a lot too.
Yeah, we had
he does a good job of keeping us updated.
Okay, social media. So some of you may recall, we started down this road about a year ago. I think it was about last January that we had a discussion along these lines. And then we kind of got derailed along with everything else. So with the more imminent launch of the new website and the opportunity to kind of refresh our whole online presence, thought it would be a good idea to bring back the topic of social media so that as a council, you're able to take advantage of those opportunities.
I see that Steve Page just logged in.
Oh, yes. Great. I guess I wanted to just start with a couple of high level comments, and I'm glad that both Rob and of course Brenda are on the line tonight because, their guidance will be crucial in figuring out both the technology issues and sort of the public records and administrative management of any council member social media accounts that get created. So, I'm hoping that they will both be able to chime in if at any time I say things that send flashing neon signs through their brain and say, no, we're not going to do that or we can't do that. Chime in, but I'm just going to be addressing it more of a sort of a legal and practical perspective. So I guess the first thing for you to keep in mind is this is kind of the first of what I hope will be a couple of meetings and follow-up council meetings. This is just an introduction to help everybody sort of start framing the issues in their mind and what kind of social media presence and what kind of rules around that presence you guys want to create. As I've mentioned before, the city administration from the mayor's end, they've already have a couple of social media accounts that are live, and I think the idea is to make those more regularized. And so there would be some administrative social media policies that would apply to city departmental accounts. But the council is responsible for coming up with their own rules for their own social media presence. So felt it was really important, at least at the beginning, to focus on the council members' own social media policies that apply to yourselves. One of the big picture items you're gonna have to think about is how do you, what do you want the purpose of your social media accounts to be? Are they intended to be a just a one-way communication, a way for you to provide information about city events, city issues to your constituents? Or do you want it to be more of a two-way communication avenue where you can both send and receive and react to and have a dialogue online through social media? So think carefully about that and how you want these accounts to be used. And when you've kind of thought about that issue, that may help inform your decisions about what social media platforms would work best. I mean, obviously there are a lot to choose from. You know, there's Facebook and Twitter, which are probably two of the most common, Instagram, there's Snapchat, there's YouTube, there's LinkedIn, there's all different types of platforms that you could use. Some may work better for some purposes than others. And maybe you want to be able to use all of them, or maybe different council members will want to use different ones. And that's fine. Just we need to make sure that we have a set of policies that accurately fit with all of those different platforms. You know, but for example, you know, the city administrative accounts, I think, are primarily viewed as a way to pump out information either on a rapid basis or just to make sure that messages and information is getting received by the broadest segment of the community as possible. Whereas I think council members are more likely to want to have ongoing dialogue and back and forth communication with their constituents than would be really maybe appropriate for an individual departmental person to be, you know, having a one-way dialogue with one person over social media. So, or a two-way dialogue over social media. So just think about that. Another thing to think about is kind of the scope of what of your social media policy would include. Is it just going to be a set of council rules, some policies that you adopt in your council rules that lay out how council member accounts are going to be created and managed? Or, you know, longer term, do you want to establish some citywide social media policies that would apply both to the council member accounts and to other official city accounts? Another thing to think about is as you're formulating policies, you know, it's one thing to have a policy, it's another thing to be able to enforce it and administer it. So having a policy takes resources if you're going to actually follow through. And so sometimes it may be best that the administration and enforcement just happens at the council member level. But you may also need to have staff level resources to help you with that, because to the extent your accounts, I mean, they're going to be official social media accounts, that typically means that the city would need to have access to that account to be able to conduct moderation, to be able to pull things off that shouldn't be there, just to have password control. You know, council member positions aren't static. People resign, people lose elections. The city needs to be able to retain some degree of control of access to those accounts. So having Rob and Brenda having access to the passwords and being able to conduct moderation as necessary is going to be important. But that takes staff time. And, you know, some cities have a city communications manager, and maybe that communications manager, part of that person's job is to manage both the internal social media accounts and the external social media accounts. So just kind of think carefully about how resource intensive you want your social media activity to be. Other issues that we'll talk about, and I'm just going to kind of walk through some of these in a minute, but obviously there are concerns that can arise about what kind of content gets published on city accounts. Not necessarily too many concerns about what council members post, because you guys exercise good judgment 99% of the time. But we don't always know what a member of the public might decide to respond with, and what kinds of material, videos or photographs or other things that may not be appropriate to post on a city account. And so we need to think about what kind of content is going to be allowed and what kind of moderation policy is going to be employed. Some other things to think about include the Open Public Meetings Act. If there's seven of you, so if more than four of you are engaged in a social media discussion, that could very well constitute a public meeting, which if it wasn't properly noticed, could be an OPMA violation. So some ways that some cities deal with that is they just strongly discourage or have rules that, you know, policies that prohibit council members from commenting on each other's posts. That minimizes the risk of an inadvertent public meeting or open public meeting violation. Others just say, you know, we strongly caution you not to have more than three out of seven participating in an online discussion. But of course, that's really hard to make sure that you're complying with, because you may not have been there when the fourth person was involved. So that's hard to keep up with. Other legal concerns include the Public Records Act. Anything that gets posted on an official city account, whether it's an internal administrative account or your council member account, will be likely considered a public record. So the city needs to be able to make sure and capture that. And I'll certainly defer to Rob and to Brenda on what kind of tools we have to be able to capture social media posts on the various platforms. But certainly we need to make sure that we have procedures in place that all public social media accounts can be archived as necessary. And even the items that get removed still need to be preserved. We need to have a record of when it was removed, what it was, who removed it, and all those sorts of things, so that we can satisfy state record retention and public records requirements. And lastly, just, you know, some very basic housekeeping type rules that you might want to think about are naming conventions. Do you want to have a consistent way that you name your social media accounts? You know, do you want every council member who has a Twitter account to call their, you know, their online handle, you know, @CMPageBD, you know, or figure out whatever your appropriate format is, so that it's obvious that it's an official city account and what kind of account it is and who it belongs to. So those are just some high level considerations to think about. Obviously, jump in anytime you have questions or you want to talk about things, but I thought next I might just walk through a few samples from some other cities. I know I circulated a few copies of other cities' policies to you yesterday. I thought I'd highlight a few features of some of those to kind of help, again, just kind of get the juices flowing and raising questions in your mind about how you want to proceed with your own policies. All right, well, since no questions yet, if I can share my screen, I'm going to pull up some sample policies. Can everyone see the City Council social media disclaimer that's on my screen?
Yep, we can see it.
Okay, great. So This is from Kirkland, from the city of Kirkland. And this is just probably the most basic type of social media policy you can find. This is basically just policy that says, we're gonna have, when members of the city council use social media, they have to make sure that these disclaimers are present. And so here I've highlighted here that council members may post to sites such as Facebook and Twitter, as long as a disclaimer about their views is included. The disclaimer ensures that the views expressed in the comment is that of the member, not of the full council. Also, it acknowledges that comments by other council members regarding the same issue are limited by the Open Public Meetings Act, which requires public noticing of a quorum of council members discussing official city business. So the city of Kirkland doesn't seem to want to have much to say about how council members use social media, as long as it's clear that a council member is speaking on their own behalf, not on behalf of the whole council, and that they sort of preempt the inclination or the questions from some members of the public to say, well, why isn't so-and-so chiming in on this issue? Or, you know, you've provided me your thoughts. What does council member X say about this? And this other disclaimer is sort of a way of communicating that, hey, you know, it would be really problematic if all of our council members decided to chime in on this issue on the social media stream, because it could be an OPMA violation. And so that just, you know, discourages people from criticizing the lack of participation by all council members in a social media thread. So here's some examples of the language that they use. The views expressed represent the views of the author. It may not reflect the views of the Kirkland City Council. You know, that could be something that went in your Twitter bio or the top of your Facebook page. Other examples are responses to this communication by other council members may be limited by the provisions of the Open Public Meeting Act, Meetings Act. And then also they also want to make sure that folks know that anytime they submit a comment that it may be subject to disclosure under the Public Records Act. So even if it's a social media program that or a platform that allows private messaging or direct messaging, just because it says it's private in the public context, it's not going to be private. It's a public record and could get disclosed. So that's a very basic, that's like the most bare bones social media policy. The city of Sammamish has one that they adopted about 2 years ago, as I recall. And they just, they used the approach of amending their council rules to include some guidelines on how council members should use social media. So again, they've tried to define what the point of all this is. The purpose of this policy is to establish a formal process for use of social media by individual city council members in their capacity as elected officials. And what they've included in their social media policy is not just, I think this is kind of interesting, I haven't seen other cities really do this, but Sammamish is a little bit unique in that their policy does not just tell you what can or can't be posted on council member accounts, it also, or on official council member accounts, it also specifies how council members can use their personal non-city related social media accounts to make sure that those personal accounts don't sort of become or slide into becoming official accounts. So these are some rules that the Sammamish City Council has set up to really try and put a bright line distinguishing between council members' use of their personal social media and council member use of official social media. These are just some things that they've included in ways to ensure that that distinction remains in place. As for their official social media accounts, they have rules on those too. They have similar disclaimers that kind of like we talked about before, but also includes a bit of their moderation policy, things that they reserve the right to delete, vulgar language, personal attacks, things that are clearly off topic, so on and so forth. These are just some ideas of things that, ways that you can streamline and minimize the opportunity for inappropriate content. They also have a policy that says if you're going to have a Facebook page, you should go through the Facebook verification process. I don't really understand what that process looks like. I've never tried to do that myself, but I know that they do have ways of, I think through submitting, I don't know if it's driver's licenses or how that works, but to make it look more obvious that this is an official page. Some prohibited content that council members should avoid posting on their social media accounts. So these are things like content that promotes or appears to promote for-profit or third-party interests like events, products, services, or goods. So these would be, you know, just prohibiting, you know, promoting your brother's restaurant or whatever. Content that promotes a candidate or political party. So you obviously don't want to be electioneering on your official social media account. Content that contains inappropriate or offensive language. Other cities have policies that say things like, you know, maintain the same decorum and demeanor that you would in a council meeting as, you know, on social media. prohibiting content that promotes, fosters, or perpetuates discrimination. Content that violates any terms of the hosting site. So those are pretty bare bones, but those are some good content controls. Sammamish is also a little bit unique in that they have a council rule that relates specifically to election years and election activity. So again, to kind of maintain the distinction between the official council member account and an election type account. So ways that you can try to keep that distinction. And they have the standard stuff about public records and preservation, Open Public Meetings Act concerns. And then lastly, I thought this is another interesting concept that the council should keep in mind is what's going to happen if you have your social media account and you receive like a public records request or what looks like it might be a public records request from a citizen. It comes directly to your social media account. I think the wise thing and what a lot of cities have done is just to say and to post very clearly on all those social media accounts is that any public records request must be submitted through official channels to the city, like through the clerk's office, and that anything submitted on a social media account, a council member's individual social media account, will not be considered a public records request. Because it would be really burdensome for a council member to have to constantly monitor and direct public records requests to the city. Because, you know, we have, the city has timing limitations, timing restrictions on how fast those things have to be responded to. And it could be a real pain if every council member is responsible for policing public records requests on their individual social media accounts. So there's some concepts from Sammamish I thought were interesting. Here's some from the City of Vancouver social media policy. Again, this policy is intended to apply just to individual council members in their capacity as elected officials. This is a policy that governs all city operations. This is a little bit like what we talked about before. They have a rule that says you're supposed to maintain the same professional behavior displayed during council meetings and community meetings as you would online. You know, sometimes social media can bring out the worst in people. And so the idea here is to remind council members not to let that happen. Social media sites should contain links directing users back to the city's official website. So this is kind of a, you know, one way that social media can be really beneficial. You know, if it's like Twitter or something where you're limited in the number of characters you can use, you may not be able to get very much detailed information out, but you can definitely remind people to go check out the detailed information on the city's website. So, you know, they have a policy in Vancouver that council members' social media sites should include a link back to the city's main website and refer citizens to documents or other things that are online for them to refer to. Again, more just restrictions on political candidates or ballot propositions being the subject matter of council member social media accounts, maintaining confidentiality on sensitive information that wouldn't normally get disclosed, and no advertising or commercial services on social media accounts. Interesting question about council members friending or blocking. There's some case law, some cases percolating through the court system right now about whether it's a First Amendment violation, for example, for a council member to block a social media user from being able to access their account or being able to respond to messages when everybody else is allowed to respond to messages. So those are some, I won't go into all that here tonight. A lot of that would be privileged information anyway, but I do want to just kind of have you think about, okay, wow, do we want to have policies that govern blocking or friending or retweeting or sharing? You know, what are the limitations that, if any, that you want to have on the ability to interact in that way? Concern that probably won't come up very often, but it's very important, is there are times when the council acts in a quasi-judicial capacity, where the council member is actually having a hearing and making a decision that affects an individual entity or person in the city and their rights, either in development or something else. So in those situations, it's really important that we don't have social media kind of influencing council member consideration. You know, if you're sitting as a judge, the last thing you want a judge to be doing is interacting on social media about those topics outside of the formal hearing process where there's due process and there's a formal record and opposing parties can react and respond in real time. So just we want to make sure that if there are any quasi-judicial matters that we don't have comments coming in that could violate the appearance of fairness doctrine. So those are some of the points of the Vancouver policy that I thought were worth pointing out. Stanwood, I thought, was kind of interesting because Stanwood actually calls out specific social media platforms. Let me see if I can get to the right part of it here. Here's Stanwood saying that the city clerk will maintain a list of all social media sites, including login and password information. So it's important, again, for the city to be able to access those accounts when necessary, and to be able to immediately edit or remove content from social media sites. We may want to have a policy that describes how often or how frequent social media will be reviewed for objectionable or impermissible content. But anyway, what I was really wanting to get to here was, they have specific policies that govern Facebook usage and policies that cover Twitter usage. I don't know if you want to get that specific, but this is the way that Stanwood has done that. And those are things that you might want to take a more specific in-depth look at between now and our next meeting. And then there are also some video posting standards if you're going to be using video. Those, obviously, any type of material that's subject to copyright, you probably want to be very careful with. If it's not a city-created video or city-created photographs, you need to be very careful about that. Talk to me. We'll talk about content review for copyright clearance and that type of thing, if such a thing would be necessary. And then lastly, I included Redmond because I thought Redmond had a really good list of permissible and impermissible content, but this might be a good cheat sheet for things that we might want to use in our policy for, just because it's very specific. It's not as broad and sort of amorphous as some content policies are. These are quite specific, and I thought they could be a good starting point for us to use.
Who was this one?
This is from the city of Redmond. So City of Redmond has a very extensive set of internal and external social media accounts, both for council members and for city departments and other city officials. And so they have a really robust social media policy, probably more elaborate than what we need, at least to get started in Black Diamond. But I did think they have some good points that we might be able to borrow from. So that's really about all I have, but certainly happy to answer questions and get your feedback. I think the goal here is just to get the juices flowing and stimulate the conversation and provide me some feedback so that, whether it's tonight or whether it comes in the next week or two, that we can come back in a future meeting and maybe I can have a draft policy or a draft set of new council rules that you could comment on and we can tweak and modify until we get it into a form that everybody's happy with.
One thing I thought that we should bring up here is Councilmember De Leon had expressed an interest in having a Zoom account, and Brenda had said that nobody else has responded when she sent out emails to see if they were interested, and that would probably go hand in hand with the social media thing, as if we're going to have Zoom accounts, we'd have to make sure that we follow those rules. But Brenda just thought that if everybody wanted to have a Zoom account for as a council member, it would be cheaper to buy them in a block together than to do them separately. So that's another discussion. It doesn't have to happen tonight either, but need to decide if you're interested in having a Zoom account or not.
If we do the Zoom accounts, do we have to record each of the sessions and calls if it's an official meeting or official, kind of like we were talking about on social media, where, content may be required to be retained. Do we need to retain Zoom meeting stuff if it's
official? Wouldn't that be like talking on the phone?
Yeah, because it's verbal. You wouldn't be, like social media is actually where you're typing. So you're creating something, where Zoom is more verbal. And if you were to share a document, you would already have that document saved on your Surface. So if someone did a public records request for that, we would be able to provide that to them. The only thing that we would want you to do on those Zoom accounts is to disable chat when you set up those meetings. because people within that meeting can talk amongst themselves and you wouldn't even know it. So when you set those up, it would be disabling chat so that that wouldn't happen. And you wouldn't record those. I mean, those just, it wouldn't be recorded.
Okay. Just wondering if we had thought about it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Brenda, I missed your email, so I'll go back and look about asking about a Zoom account.
Well, it wasn't an email. It was at the last council meeting under department reports when I asked you guys to let me know if you wanted one. I only heard back from Christiana, so.
I don't need one.
Okay.
But if you're doing a group purchase, I mean, you can certainly have one set up, but I won't use it.
Okay. Well, and it'll go into what we think. I mean, if we can get a block that's a little cheaper, we may just, you know, buy that and maybe we won't turn anything on for you, you know, and stuff. So, but I just want to, you know, I want to make sure that everybody knows that we need to hear back whether you want one or not. So it kind of gives us some guidance how to move forward. So we can do that soon.
Councilmember Oglesby.
So I guess I'll start with the conversation is, you know, the first thing is, what's our goal here? Personally, my personal goal would be a one-way conversation. Two-way dialogue seems a little bit muggy for me when it comes to public records, things like that. If we're going to be using this as a social media like our police does here in our city as more of an informational piece, getting out to the public saying, this is what we're doing, this is what's happening, this is how we're taking care of it. I feel it's a good start for our community. When it comes to public dialogue and a two-way dialogue, it gets a little fuzzy for me. I feel like if people want to have that conversation, they'll call us, they'll get a hold of us, they'll email us. We'll be able to have that conversation with them through our emails, which is already set up. So for me, I feel like this purpose of the social media would be more of a one-way conversation, getting information, important information, or wanting information to our citizens that is necessary for them to help them. Platform wise, when it comes to our personal social media, I feel that it's our freedom of speech. It's our personal information. And I do agree that on our personal information, our social media, Twitter, whatever it is, that is our choice what to put. And I do agree that we do not discuss city business or act as we're speaking on, you know, for anybody in the city council. It's our own personal thought of whatever we're posting on our Facebook or Twitter or whatever you must post on your social media. But I feel that that is a representative of our personal self. And that's why some people will elect certain people because of their personal choices. But that shouldn't be connected to the city at all. And if we are going to have a one-way conversation, it should go through our website. So it can be through, if we like say we want to go on to social media through the city, it would be a login through the city website saying, okay, I'm activating my social media account to post whatever I feel like public works or public safety or whatever it might be that we're posting on the city website through that site versus through our own personal sites. That's just my initial 2 cents. Ready for conversation.
Councilmember Stout.
I'm just curious about the blurring of the lines between a personal account and a, say, elected official account. I don't have an elected official account, and I probably don't plan to have one. But sometimes there are things that I want to say to the Black Diamond community, information or knowledge that has come to me because of my position on the council, where I'm not speaking for the city, but I could share some information that would be meaningful, like Roberts Drive is going to be having work on Thursday next week, or, you know, something like that. Something pretty innocuous as far as I know. But that's me, Erin Stout, a resident of Black Diamond who has a certain amount of knowledge that would be useful to the rest of the citizens. So I don't know about that. I know in a neighboring city, I don't want to call anybody out, there are a couple of council members who talk very frequently on their community Facebook page, where they talk about things that are going on in the government. And there's a lot of chatter, a lot of citizens weigh in and ask questions, and there's a lot of back and forth dialogue. They're not using a city Facebook page, but they will identify themselves and say, council member, you know, Smith here, and here's what's going on. So, like I said, I'm not calling anybody out. They're not my city. They're not my people. But I feel like for me, it would not be appropriate for me to say, this is council member Stout, and I'm letting you know about a road project that's going on pretty soon. So is that what we're supposed to be doing?
I'll just chime in and say that Councilmember Stout is putting her finger on a very blurry issue that the courts are struggling with, is what kind of activity on a personal account can start to transform it into an official account, even if it's not sponsored by the city or not designated as an official account. It can become one if a council member uses a personal account to talk about city business. And so then it's what constitutes city business. If it's just look out for the traffic on Roberts Drive because the construction crews are out today, probably not. But if you say, you know, boy, that was an expensive contract we we let for that, then maybe it starts to sound more like city business. Or, you know, it's a very blurry line. You're absolutely right.
And there's the council member cannot say anything about the contract, but that could end up being the chatter.
Exactly. Now, if a council member is not saying anything and it just turns into background conversation among other people, then I don't think that would necessarily turn your personal account into an official account. But if they start treating it as your hotline as a council member, then it could. Then it could.
Council Member Deedy?
So, Melissa, were you talking about that if you had a Facebook page that was for a council member? Are you talking about like what the police were doing before, where they shut off comment? So you just post what you needed and shut off comment, or you would now, like the police do, have comment, but you, and then, you know, they either like the comment, but they don't respond back. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, similar to that, Aditi. I think that, you know, getting the information out to the public is important, like our police does. Like buttons are great. Share buttons are good as well, because we're giving information in the perspective of we are the city, we are the council, we are sharing important information from the city to the public on a social media that's through our website, that's controlled through our city staff, versus comments being added. I feel, in my personal belief, that if residents want to comment back from that situation or that post that the city had made through their social media, then they can contact individual departments, directors, or city council members through their email. That way, I feel like we're more protected in that sense. That I think that's where I was going with that Facebook account, similar to the police that we have right now.
So David, then if you, like Council Member Stout was saying, so if the city posts something on their city website, and then a council member takes that and then shares it on a community page, you know, and doesn't say, no, this is Council Member Deedy. It just says, you know, Tammy Deedy shared, you know, this, you know, update. So is that then considered public record, or is that just sharing information that's already out there as a normal person would do? So, you know, I know that, you know, it's all a gray line. I spent, gosh, I don't know, 5 hours in a class once through AWC's week-long classes that they did. And it just seems like the whole thing is so fuzzy that you could get in trouble anywhere, you know, and trying to capture, you know, what one person said, and then a whole stream goes off of that, is crazy, you know. And then as far as blocking, I don't think you can block somebody. You know, I can block people on my Facebook, you know, my personal page. But I think once you open up a personal or a city Facebook page, I don't know if you can block somebody unless they're I would assume, really pushing the content that they're putting on there. But I don't even know if you could do that then. So, you know, we've got some pretty outspoken people in the city of Black Diamond that would love to jump on any council member's Facebook page and just blast them or challenge them on every issue that's being made. You know, so I'm leery about making my own Facebook page for a council because I know that these people are out there. So
just to answer your question about the sharing, if you're going to share something that's city related, I would do the sharing from an official account rather than from your personal account. To keep the distinction as clear as possible. In terms of blocking versus content moderation, certainly we can set up rules that are clearly defined. There's maybe a link to a page, you know, maybe there's a rule sheet on the city webpage and your social media page has a link that says, you know, all posts are subject to moderation under this policy. And it says, you know, if you are spewing defamatory comments, if you're using lewd and vulgar language, if you're posting copyrighted material that the city doesn't have access, you know, rights to, your comment can be deleted or something like that, so that at least they know where the line is as close as possible before they get their content removed.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Yeah, so here's my couple thoughts. One, first of all, I think it just all seems like such a slippery slope that, you know, I don't think I want to do anything that's not, you know. I have, as a business owner, I have a LinkedIn account for the business, and then I have my own personal. On Facebook, I have one for the business, and then I have one for my personal. And even that gets messy, you know, that I come from a family that's got, you know, there's six kids. I have five siblings. And so they all wanted to befriend me when I set my business account, right? And so now I'm getting all my family, you know, personal stuff. And it just gets messy very fast. I could only imagine if I set up another account that was, you know, me in some official capacity, I could just imagine. And so, you know, and then the other one, I guess, is, you know, if we're a candidate and we want to set something up for a campaign of some sort, I guess I would like to understand a little bit about those parameters. But I think for me, it just seems like if we're set, first of all, I think an email works great. It's on the city's webpage. If somebody wants to get a hold of me on official capacity, they can just email me. And then that kind of is that one-way conversation. It's an official account and it's pretty straightforward. If there's information about the streets being closed, that's not my job. Happy to get that information out there as a community member, but not in any kind of official capacity. And I think that's not our job to do. I think that if there were some, I always worry about us making policy to cover one situation that happens somewhere, sometime, some way, and could happen again. So we have this policy that everybody has to follow just for that one particular situation. And if we can just have a series of guidelines instead, or best practices that, you know, don't talk about in the official capacity about, you know, something, you know, on your personal email, things like that, and just keep it as clean as we can, guiding principles on best practices and keep it simple like that. Because I also worry if we develop some elaborate policy around all of this, if we mess it up one place and we don't comply with that, what are we setting ourselves up for? So some unintended consequences could be no good. So those are kind of my thoughts.
Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I think it's really, it really speaks a lot to, I think, all of our really vested interest in serving in this position, that we are really grappling with that, drawing those lines, drawing those boundaries. I think it's like, it's a truly a testament, I think, a lot to how much we personally feel invested in a very public role. So I think those are really important questions we're bringing up about that really murky line that even the courts are struggling with. But I tend to agree with some of the comments that were said initially by Councilmember Oglesby, especially, where I think the idea of if we are to have a more official page, having it be that one way method of communication, disseminating here's what's happening, or here's what I did, or, you know, here's this or that, that's more on the official city side, that it is that one-way path with opportunities for further engagement. And that is certainly where I think other opportunities like phone call, like email, and hopefully, I hope others find value, or at least it becomes a valuable tool to use Zoom, where then that can be that authentic dialogue. I think the power that I've seen so far in social media communications does mean that you're having that ability to really kind of speak more and let the public know more where you're at, and for the city to be able to speak for the city. And I don't mean this council members, I mean like city pages, like public works, and, you know, things about the road closures and things like that, where it's making sure that the vacuum of potential vacuum of information isn't being filled by not official sources, right? And I think there's really an important point to that, especially as we're looking forward to everything else that might happen in the 21st century, right? So really making sure that we are communicating what's happening, I think, is going to be really crucial to making sure citizens know who is saying what. You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. I do want to go back a little bit to the idea of what it would look like for some sorts of as much disclaimers as well, but also those kinds of guidelines, because I know some cities have some really spelled out, really hashed out, this is kind of like the do's and don'ts and how you engage with these kinds of platforms that I think can be helpful. And I know we saw a few examples of those as well. I think Stan was one of the one, or Redmond's, I think, was really specific. I know there are some other neighboring cities that have, like, no spam, no this or that. Those kinds of things, I think, are really a good way to make sure that we are saying, yes, this is your right to participate, to opine, to comment. I may not comment back, but here is where you can at least know that this is still, even if you get a little spicy, this is what you get to still say. And I think that's going to be really important as we're moving ahead too. Another thought I had was, I do think it's a good idea if it's a page to, or like it's an official page, to have the account passwords and what have we be kind of like in some capacity with the city employee. I like the idea of eventually there being a communications manager of some kind. I know that we have a lot of work for the staff already. It does seem like, especially with a rollout of social media and a new website and all these things, that it makes a lot of sense as our city's growing and has all these complexities, and has, and there are naturally going to be more expectations on how our city communicates with residents, that there eventually does become a position where there can really be that kind of honed in specializing in making sure that this content is moderated, that the records are captured, et cetera. But for now, I think at least having those, you know, the passwords and other access be granted is a really wise and simple move to just show that there's that transparency and official nature of it. I'd be willing to do that.
Councilmember Deedy.
So the city of Kent has a really good Facebook page. I don't know, Christiana, looks like you follow them too. They're funny as heck. But they, in their about area, they have a really good section that talks, you know, about what can and can't be said, and, you know, what will be removed, and that, you know, it's a government page, and it's, you know, they're pursuant to RCW 42.56, public disclosure a request must be directed to the city clerk's office. So I thought that their page was really good, you know, and I would love to see, you know, I'm not so worried about me getting a Facebook page or, you know, trying to get that out right away. I would love to see the city get the Facebook page first. The city get the Facebook page. They post just like the city of Kent does, or the city of Enumclaw, or any of those, and you start posting off of there. And then I think that then once that's established, then that's where I see the city council coming into form and starting, you know, maybe their own Facebook page, whoever wants to, and then just sharing information off of that, and maybe having some dialogue if they want to. But that's where I think that first the city needs the page before the council gets the page. The city get the page, the city gets Public Works on Facebook and Instagram like you have. The city gets the police department, which I think now is on Facebook and Instagram. But once the mayor gets the city up, I think it'll help us as a council move in that direction as well.
Well, we're working on doing our policy too. So we will be doing that soon.
Yeah.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
I think one of the things we need to think about is what is the different goals of Facebook versus the city webpage, if there is a difference, right? And that'll help us drive the approach to how we deal with it and what type of information and how that communication happens, right? I mean, is the Facebook page going to be a duplicate of what's on the website? Is there things that we put on Facebook that we wouldn't put on the web page and vice versa? As far as the city, right, goes, I think that's one thing to consider. And then also in the website, will the council members have a page where they can have a blog or where we can post our contact info, that kind of stuff? I know we currently have our email addresses out there, but are we going to have a page for each of us to have a blog and maybe discuss things that are going on or not? I think kind of figure out, are there two different aims, right? Are we looking at different audiences? That kind of thing, right? You might find, the audience on social media might be a little different than your audience on your webpage. And especially those that take time to do an email versus an IM, those are probably different demographics. So you kind of got to think about that whole cycle of, just like every company does, right? They have to figure out, well, what do we post on our Facebook page or our social media presence, right? Whatever that is, versus what do we do on our website itself? I agree with Councilmember Oglesby that I think that that if we do set up Facebook, it should be a one-way distribution of information channel to maybe hopefully get those people that wouldn't look at the website, right? Because I think, like I was saying, the demographics may be different for people that go to the website, that go to Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Because most likely the people that are going to look at the stuff on social media are probably going to use it on a mobile device, right? So it's a much shorter timeline, much shorter experience. Whereas the web page, maybe people who are on a computer looking at it would be a much longer experience, longer read time, that kind of stuff. So it's kind of those things you kind of think about when you're doing those digital pieces of information distribution.
Councilmember Oglesby.
I think another thing to consider is making sure that we do have some sort of rules on in our council that talks a little bit about our personal Facebook and being very, very clear on what we can share on our personal information. It should be a personal thought, a personal freedom of speech. Shouldn't have to have anything connection to do with what's going on with city or speaking on behalf of the council. I think a set of rules like that should be very clear and bullet point, letting the new council members or previous council members know that this is acceptable on your personal page, but this is what we cannot share on our personal page regarding our city business or in speaking of behalf of other council members or the city on our personal business. Having a personal thought about a different council member or city business or policies or things like that should be reserved for our personal choice, our personal beliefs, and our personal freedom of speech on our personal, I'm going to say personal a lot right here, sorry. our Instagram, Twitter, whatever else you use. I mean, honestly, Facebook is a tool for information for people to share businesses, likes, families, whatever it is you want to use. And Bernie, I think you mentioned touched on a little bit on if a council member wants a platform for running for an election, like myself, I think like Christiana and Chris, a few other past candidates that ran, we had a separate Facebook page that we dedicated just to, I'm running for council, I'm Melissa Oglesby, and this is my Facebook council page versus my personal page. There are two separate dialogues. So it could be followed conversation, you know, whatever it might be, but it was a separate page versus my own page, if that helps you out, Brady. And maybe Dave can help you out a little bit more with that as well, if anybody's looking forward to running next round.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. Yeah, and actually I can cede this first to Councilmember Deedy, and then I can go back into line.
Well, I was just going to say off of Melissa's statement there about a council member having their own page for running for council, that still gets into the area a little bit still of public disclosure. I think David could talk a little bit about that, but as a council member and having your own page like that, you're still in that gray area. You're still in that hole where what you say on there can be requested by citizens in a disclosure.
Well, if you want me to respond, I guess I would say two things. And let me share my screen again. Make sure I do this right. So I think there's two pieces of the Sammamish policy that might speak to Councilmember Ogilvie's concern. So, and maybe I'll incorporate this or some version of this into the draft that you see next. These would be some best practices or guidelines, like Councilmember O'Donnell was saying, that would govern personal social media accounts. Council members should avoid posting anything regarding city business on a personal Facebook account or other social media outside of a city-sponsored social media account. And that would mean avoid the following things on your personal account. Don't use a Sammamish, well, in this case, a Black Diamond email address as a point of contact when you register the account, or I would say in asking people to contact you. Don't identify yourself as a current member of the city council in your username. Don't use the city logo on any of your content that you post. And don't include contact information at City Hall or other official city contact information when you're posting stuff. And then on the campaign front, we could incorporate another kind of best practice or guideline that just kind of says, you know, make sure you've got a separate account that for your campaign purposes that are clearly labeled that way and that don't otherwise look like an official account. And Councilmember Deedy, you're right, there can be some gray area in terms of what constitutes a public record that might show up on a campaign page. But generally, I think we can keep those two things pretty separate.
And actually, I think that kind of addresses a little bit of maybe what I'd be either thinking about or asking about, which is more, I think, actually going back, I guess it's a slightly different topic, but that idea of speaking on behalf of an entity versus speaking on behalf of one's own self. It seems that if it is, say, Councilmember De Leon's page, that is Councilmember De Leon, that is not any other council member. And perhaps it's helpful to have a disclaimer just to make that abundantly clear, but it seems that if it's not the City of Black Diamond's page or account, that it is that individual's account, if it is indeed intended for city business. And that kind of goes back a little bit though, where, about even like accounts and access though, is still that access can still be, you know, given to the city entity if it is indeed a public account. But otherwise it seems that aside from that, it should be pretty clear though, that if it is one person's page, that it's that council member's page. So that would be my only thing to add. Although if it does need to be said, then it does need to be said.
So did anybody else have anything else to say on this subject? Councilmember Stout?
I think the reason we're meeting here is to open the discussion about social media in the city and specifically for the council. So do we need to establish next steps or give David Linehan some guiding, you know, what we would like to, how we would like to move forward? I think most of us want to remain fairly conservative about the use of social media. I will say that sitting on the Public Works Committee, there's actually a requirement that we use social media to promote certain aspects of public works. What was it, Christiana?
But it's for the city to disseminate information.
So are we talking about a social media policy only for the council? Or are we talking about?
We're talking about one for the council. I will be handling the one with David for the city.
So we're not going to worry about that.
No, you're not going to worry about that.
So we're talking specifically about what the council is going to do.
Yes.
Council is council members' pages, as I understand it. Yes.
Yes, we will be setting up our social media account so that we will qualify for all the different agencies now that are requiring social media.
So what do we need to do next?
I believe what Councilmember Stout is referring to is we have to have some sort of presence by the end of March for our NPDES permit.
Right, right. Yeah, I know what she was talking about. Yeah. I just meant that we are going to be establishing that, and that it's not, doesn't necessarily have anything to do with council. So if you want David to write up something draft for you, you can do that now, or you can decide if you want to send him some information so that he has more information, or just let him go from tonight and write a draft policy. Council Member Deedy.
So I think for David, you know, poor David, we're going to throw you everything at you. I think, you know, with the cities that we've looked at, I mean, they all had good policies. They had good policies, and there's obviously, I didn't see anything in there per se that I would say, oh no, don't put that in ours. I think if you compiled that and wrote it up and presented it, I think that everybody would either say, yeah, let's move forward with that, or hey, we may have miss this item here. You know, I'm looking at other people's council members' Facebook page, and they pretty much all have the same. The City of Kent council member just has a link where it goes to her profile on the city webpage, and then it has her phone number, and then it has the government, the City of Kent, their homepage, so you can see where you know, all the departments are, how to get a hold of your council member. So, and then also one there where you can click that and it would go straight to an email where you can email that person on their city account. So I think something like that would be good on our Facebook page if we put one up. I did find it interesting that out of all the council members' Facebook page, that they didn't have any of those disclosures, like, you know, that says this is a public page, your comments could, you know, or will be saved for forever. Where on when you go to city accounts, like the City of Kent, the City of Enumclaw and Auburn and all them, they have that whole paragraph where it says, you know, if you do this, if you say this, if you post this, it could be removed. You know, these are all up for capturing for public records. So I think for our city Facebook page, it would be good that we have that disclaimer somewhere in the about area, not just about with how to go to these links, but also where it has a place where you put all that information, and then you can do a little blurb about your life and why you're a council member. But I think that would be helpful going forward too.
I can make just a couple of suggestions, and Brenda may have to help me out here. Would you like for me to bring a draft to you for your February work session? I don't know what's on that night already, what we have scheduled, but that might be
an opportunity. The fire study.
Oh, that's the fire study. Okay.
Yeah, let's not do that night.
No. And we could do it at a council meeting if you've got a thin council meeting agenda coming up, or we could just schedule another special meeting to do it, whatever you guys want to do. But it seems like it's a meaty enough topic and there's enough opinions and discussion that still needs to be worked out that we probably need to dedicate a block of time to it.
How about another work study would be good?
Or we can do a work study in March, or we can have a work study before a council meeting at 6 o'clock before a regular council meeting.
Yeah, I think another work study would be good.
Yeah. So what about March? You know, that would give, David, that would give you time to do all that. And that would give each of us council members time to also go through and look at other pages, other cities, and send information to David. And that would give us a month at least to do so.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
One question I have for you guys tonight, I guess, would be, are there any social media platforms that you definitely intend to use or would plan to use, or some that you definitely want? I mean, it sounds like most people use Facebook. Are people going to use Twitter? Are you going to use Instagram? Are you going to use LinkedIn? Are you going to use Snapchat? Because we might need to include a little bit of variability, or a little bit of, you know, maybe a special section for, you know, Instagram or something where it's very photographic or, you know, visual type thing that maybe is a little bit different than we would use for one or the other.
Council Member O'Donnell.
I was just going to say that, you know, as a politician and using a Twitter account, we know how that goes sometimes. So I don't want to incite an insurrection. So I'm a little concerned about that myself. I do worry that there's this official page, and then you have your personal page, and I worry about the back and forth dialogue, and if I don't respond, and it's a public record, and it really is a slippery slope. So I would rather, if you know, I want to be accessible to, you know, the community and things like that, and do what I need to do to represent the community. But I'm really concerned about the liability that it creates. And the public record, and I don't want to get into a back and forth debate, and I don't want people lobbying me for something. You know, we're a legislative body, and we set policy and all that, and we have a public forum for people to express their opinion, and we take that information in and we make our decisions. It gets really goofy and weird to me if I have an official account and people are, you know, pinging me or whatever, and I need to be responsive to that. It's just another opportunity for something to go wrong. So I really, really worry about that. And so whichever direction we go, I think we need to be really careful. And I think maybe it's okay if everybody wants to do their own thing the way they want to do it, but and maybe there isn't a policy, but there's some guiding principles. If you set up your own page in the capacity as a city council member, you should follow the following things, you know, and leave it up to that, leave it up that way.
Council member Wisnowski.
I would caution us on using on calling out any specific social media site, and maybe do it by type, because otherwise, you know, we all still have that MySpace account with our good friend Tom, and you know, they come and go. So maybe if we could do it, you know, if you could figure out a way to categorize them, right? Maybe that would make. What I'd hate to do is have a policy now, right? Write a policy now, and then 2 years from now, one of the platform goes away, and we have to redo the policy or something like that. So if we could figure out a way to categorize the type of social media, engagement. I don't know exactly how to do it, David, but
we can make it as platform neutral as possible. Yeah. I just wanted to know if anybody had a burning desire that, by golly, I'm going to be Snapchatting the heck out of my social media, you know, my city council member life. And that's a little bit different consideration than a Facebook page. So.
Can I add something to that from my point of view? It would be nice to know the platforms, because the tools that we need to acquire to archive and keep records have to support the platforms. So there's a little bit more, unfortunately, not from a PolySpace perspective, but from a usability perspective.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob.
Council Member Page.
Yeah, I guess I just had a question for David. You know, we started off with the Kirkland example, right? And it was, to me, pretty straightforward. You know, whatever, one and a half pages. It's the KISS principle. I would lean towards something like that. But my question is, what exposure or risks do you see with having something so simple and so generic?
So the Kirkland example that you talked about really is simply a disclaimer policy. It's to tell the world that an individual counselor isn't speaking for the council, and that if you interact with the council member on their website or on their social media account, your comments are going to be preserved as a public record, so watch what you say if you care about such things, and that we won't have multiple council members commenting on the same thread, because we don't want to create OPMA issues. So that's very simple and easy to execute, but what it doesn't do in terms of risk management is it doesn't set expectations or set a, you know, defined policy and expectation that, okay, council members are not going to use it to promote, you know, a business, or they're not going to use it to campaign, or they're not going to use it to support a ballot initiative, or the accounts aren't there to be, you know, used for purpose X, Y, or Z. It's just sort of creating some accountability to each other that's enforceable through council rules, if we make it part of the council rules, and that create some expectations about the types of content that will be used or not used. So you can, you know, make sure that it's individual council member web pages are reflective of the tone and presentation that you want to give to the city at large, so that it's not quite such a free-for-all, which, you know, they can certainly turn into. So anyway, that's just it. It's in terms of managing risk, it's really just to kind of set more, I don't know, enforceable boundaries around what council members do on their individual. By individual, I don't mean personal. I mean not speaking on behalf of the full council.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm social media averse by nature, so I guess I'm kind of like, you know, leaning towards something like that. And I've heard a couple of other council members, you know, make comments that would kind of indicate to me that maybe we're not going to have a huge amount of exposure. But then again, there are other council members that I know probably are itching to have social media and use that. So I don't know. I guess I think if we make something really elaborate and really robust, I think it also has the opportunity to create unintended consequences or misinterpretations of, you know, paragraph 4, clause A, you know, said this or whatever. That's my only comment is, I don't want this to go down a slippery slope where we have, you know, a very a very time intensive policy for something that maybe a lot of the council members might not actually use. And, you know, I think if we're going to have a separate, you know, policy that's, you know, city related versus, you know, we're coming up with a policy that's specific to the council members, I think we shouldn't try and make it too elaborate, I guess, is my only feedback. But
Council Member Stout.
I'm wondering if we could include a requirement that council members check in with administration, either Brenda or Rob or both of them, before establishing a social media account, so that they can go through the process of, you know, figuring out how to archive each of those things, since there are different platforms. And that might eliminate the problem of having to list out every single solitary thing. We don't know what's coming up in a year. You know, there may be new platforms around the corner. So if we just had that expectation that a council member would check in before they establish their account, that might solve some of the problems.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. And I think I've even seen a couple of examples of that in other cities where they talk about coordinating with IT and the public records officer before establishing the account. So I think we should definitely include something like that.
Some also said that there needed to be a list of passwords so that IT could access those accounts. So I think that's a good idea. You know, we talk about the slippery slope or the unintended consequences. The minute you become an elected official, strangely enough, your hands are kind of tied. We want to be able to be in contact with the public, but we have to be careful about what we do and what we say and how many of us say it at a time. So as much as we want to reach out, we really need to be cautious and make sure that we know where we're going and that we don't leave anybody out, but that we also don't say what we're not supposed to say. It sounds so weird. It sounds like we're hiding something or keeping something under wraps, which is never the case, but it really is tricky for an elected official to say and do the right thing. And this social media just opens up a huge explosion of possibilities. So I just think that we should be super cautious. And the two major things are, of course, violations of Open Public Meetings Act and public records. And so if we can always keep those things in our minds, then we should be okay. But I think we should be really, really cautious. I'm all about being really conservative about social media for ourselves in the council.
Council Member Wisnowski.
It looks like maybe he froze.
Yep.
I think he froze, yeah.
So can I ask David really quick? Just off of that conversation, Aaron was saying, you know, once you have your council member Facebook page, you don't want to go on and say, you know, next week's meeting is on this item and I'm going to vote no, or I'm going to vote yes, and here's why, because then you've got six other council members that are maybe doing the same, and now would you have potentially done a quorum kind of thing there, where everybody's seeing what everybody's saying, and somebody goes over to somebody else's page and says, hey, I saw council member Stout's not voting on that. What do you think of that? And somebody else, you know, I just think that, you know, when you start putting your opinion out before a meeting, it is also pretty dangerous.
So yeah. Council member Wisnowski, are you unfrozen now?
Well, that's what happens when you've been in meetings since 4 o'clock on your city laptop and forgot to plug it in. He goes to sleep. So what I was going to say was, when we get further down the road, one of the things we should think about is including something kind of like a, as we talked about sometime in the past, developing some type of an onboarding packet for new council members, right? Creating some training guides for new council members on what is acceptable and what is not and that kind of thing. Something that's a little bit easier than just looking through a bunch of policies, but something that kind of is like a starting guide, right? How to, you know, what's allowed, what's not, kind of the high level, that kind of thing. So once we get a policy, I would be sure we could work with Brenda and kind of put together some training for new council members.
Well, we have had trainings in the past. We don't usually have them with appointed ones as regularly as if we do new elected. Usually David and Brenda put together a little information thing and go over it with you. Now, this last year has been really crazy because of COVID, but in the past, we actually have had orientation for council members, and there is orientation through AWC for council members too. So that's sort of an ongoing thing, but this last year has been a little bit different. So,
well, I was just thinking we could possibly have 5 new council members next January. So,
don't say that.
David would prefer not to have to educate 5 new council members. So,
Councilmember Deedy, just to briefly go back and answer your question about the commenting on how you're planning to vote and stuff. Yeah, you raise a real issue there. If council members are not directly speaking to each other, but they're looking at each other's Facebook pages and sort of subtweeting or, you know, passively aggressively commenting on their own page or something, then yeah, you can definitely walk into the possibility of that being considered a meeting. So, just something to keep in mind.
So are we good with the direction that we gave David for tonight? Because we have Mr. Williamson here to talk about the new fire station. So,
yep, I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
So Mr. Williamson, you're up.
Good evening, council. Good evening, mayor. It's been a long time since I've seen some of you. The light here, I'm not really this red faced or sunburned. This light in my office makes me look like I'm in a rage or I've been suntanning, but I apologize. It's the great fluorescent light. So I'm going to go ahead and try to share my screen. And what we're going to hopefully do tonight is just walk you through a very high level update of kind of where we are in the fire station, design elements, show you the floor plan. This has been completely vetted by the fire department between the chief and the assistant chief. And they're deeply involved in this. And I'm kind of just the shepherd moving this project along. And then here shortly, very shortly, we hope, hopefully by the end of the month, the applicant, which will be Oak Point, will be submitting in actually the building plans to the City of Black Diamond. And then the Community Development Department will then be reviewing all that. And then they'll take over that part of it. And I'll pretty much be out of it unless the mayor asks me to do particular things. Then I'll be, as the mayor laughs, then Andy can finally wash his hands of this thing. So that will be where we'll be heading. So we'll keep it high level, kind of show you where we are, and I'll kind of walk you through some of the stuff. So let's see if we can do this. Okay, so hopefully you're all seeing what the design elements of the structure is. So we have stayed with the original design, and I'll zoom this in a little bit, of what the council and us had discussed a long time back, that we were moving towards, and the goal was to have a highly functional, as maintenance-free fire station as we could get long-term, and with the options to add on, should we need that, right? Place it so that we could someday, if we needed another bay or to do those things, that we hadn't, you know, confined ourselves into an area that we couldn't do that. So when we originally met with the architects and with the team and the fire chiefs and Peter Baker, who represents Oak Point on this and is the project manager, the architect firm, we challenged them to look at our design guidelines, the historical guidelines, the MPD guidelines, and kind of look at some historical or some features that really kind of showed Black Diamond. So if we go back into the history and we look at the historical thing, there was a lot of what we call them shed roofs, the continuous, but at the right size pitch. There was a lot of industrial type things. So you'll notice there'll be a lot of exposed beams in here. The materials, can you guys see that, or do I need to blow it up a little bit, or are we good? We're good? Okay. So this will be the one that I'm showing here, and you can see my little hand moving around. That will be the front elevation. So as you come up Lawson Hill, as you come up the hill, you'll see this side here. These are the sleeper quarters. This is an outdoor barbecue area, kind of get some air. There's a workout room right here, which I'll show you later. And then this kind of connects with this so they can use this area here. So as you come up the hill, you'll see this look of the building. And then as you come towards the front, this will, the middle picture is what you'll see kind of addressing it and, you know, the front entrance of the door of the building, scrolling down here, and the back of the building where the parking lot will be in, and where we will, you know, most of the firemen will have all of their personal vehicles and the wash and the trucks and all that. So we have purposely designed this building so that there is doors on both ends. So they'll come down Botts Drive, turn in, enter into the back of the building, but then be responding out through the front of the building. So I'm going to jump to another set of plans. Is there any questions on this or anything anybody has to look at this? So we're good to go? Good to go. Okay. Now let's see if we can find the other set of plans. Nope. I don't see it on there. Brenda, are you able to bring up that second PDF that I sent you today by chance?
Let me get into it.
Sorry about that, council members. I purposely, we had some issues.
It's okay. Let me get into emails and get that one up. I just had my desktop free, so. And it's the second one you sent, Andy?
Yeah, it says 75% complete plan set.
Yep, let me get on that. Yep, I'm getting it. Just bear with me. Can you guys see that?
Yep, perfect. Again, there's the outside of the building. The things that you'll see in this one is it had that green color there. The fire department changed that color to be more of a red, but not like a blazing fire truck red, more like a burnt rusty red color, which they have picked elements. So in our design review process of this, and in the design elements of the MPD, is there's a continuing changing of the, you can't have a massive wall of the one type of siding. You either have to have, so on the bottom, you'll see it is a an artificial rock type material. The orangey type material is essentially like the siding that you see on the new elementary school that was built. And then, so those are more of a panel, lots of glass on it, lots of metal. You'll see above the engine bays, there's glass up top, a lot of natural light to come in, and a lot of beam structures for the robustness. Can we go ahead and scroll there, Brenda? Keep going. Sorry about this, council members. Keep going. That's the, yeah, just keep going. So, yeah, right there. Well, right there. So this is the overall layout of the fire station. Brenda, can you magnify that just a little bit for them? There we go, and drag it over, yeah. Awesome. So what you'll see, and this has been vetted with the fire department, and is there's a very small for the captain or the shift commander office there. There's a lobby. So remember, this is just an accessory station. This is not replacing the main station by any means. But there'll be an office for whoever's the shift commander there. A little lobby if people needed to come in, public area. Then the next area will be the work area where they'll have laptops and the guys who are do their working. A very large kitchen, which is a kitchen that is ADA compliant also. So there's lower sinks in there. There's different areas. There's counter, the room there. You'll see they have a fitness room. That wall then slides open so that if they want to run and do sprints or do things, that they have that ability to do that there. You'll see there are four beds, and each one has their own alcove, their own storage locker for when they're on that shift there. There are two sets of showers. There's a laundry room in here. There's another restroom. There's all those things. Then with the engine bays, you can see we can have a truck or an aid car and a rescue rig in the other bay. There's a little shop area there, a bunker gear drying area, and for the bunker there, a whole decon station, and then another restroom, which was determined that, you know, if you're in your bunker gear, you're coming back from a call, it's nice to have a restroom there. You don't have to go traipsing through the entire station. So that was the idea. On the site plan, I think if we scroll down a little bit, Brenda, it'll show us a true site plan. There we go. Can we shrink that just a little bit? Awesome. So originally the council had selected, and we had recommended a piece of property that would be to the left of where the current station sits, excuse me, to the right as you look at it. Once we got deeper into the site plan and with the fire department and kind of really got deeper kind of into, you know, the nuts and bolts of this, what came very apparent to us very quickly was we were going to be a really bad neighbor. And of all the things, I don't think the council members want us building a fire station and being a bad neighbor. So essentially, the old fire station lined up perfectly with the house that was across the road from us. So those people would have been getting all the lights every time the truck rolled, whether the truck rolls with its lights on, but every set of headlights. So what will be coming forward and what I'm working on now is a boundary line adjustment to move the station to what you see here. So if you've been up the Lawson Street, when you get to the top, you'll see there's a very large metal shop with excavators and dump trucks and everything. We've purposely lined the station up that would be the path where lights would be, not on the residential homes on each side of this, right? Because we are building this in a neighborhood, essentially. So that's where we will be entering. So on a site plan where you see now is you see there's a little, just a small parking lot in the front, because again, this isn't, you know, the main station. So we don't need a big parking lot for the public to come in there. You'll see in the back, the majority of the parking where we are going to be back there. Back there, we'll be building the trash receptacles to keep in an enclosed area so they look nice. But where you see where it says the Lawson Hills Fire Station, 4,922 square feet, you'll see to the right of that shaded in area. We've purposely designed this. So should we need to add another bay, who knows, right? We don't want to limit us. So we'll meet the setbacks. We'll be within the boundary lines, and we could add a third bay should we ever need it in 50 years or whenever we need that there. So the chiefs have both been involved and did the layout so that we could have that third bay. They are well aware how to get from the other two into that bay. So that's something that we've been spent a lot of time on the design of this building. Councilmember Deedy.
Andy, you were just talking about relining the fire station so it doesn't, you know, obviously all the lights don't bother a homeowner, but is that area a part where Oak Point owns and eventually going to tear down and build up, or is
no,
that?
So as you will, I'll tell you the people's names and you will know them. So former Councilman Bowie would, as we look from this area here, former Councilman Bowie's house is to the right. This metal area is where TJ's or Buzz English's metal shop is, and then his house is to the left of that. So we've purposely lined this up as trying to be good neighbors onto his shop with all, because he has excavators and dump trucks, and you know, it should cause minimal disturbance to him. Where we know where we had it, we would have been, this other house would have taken a lot of light pollution and light entrance and stuff. And you know, when you're looking and you're trying to figure out everything until you actually start putting the building and look at the ingress egress, we all of a sudden like, oh, this is, we need to shift this, right? So we're doing a boundary line adjustment to shift this property from the former lot to where this new lot will be. And that's going through internal review currently right now. And then we will have to bring that back. Once that lot is established, we'll bring that back to the council for you to make that determination of this new parcel number and the new valuations and those things. We'll come back for the council to adopt this new piece of property here.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. So you can see Botts Drive and Lawson Street, you know, as we come to that corner there, I think ultimately as we build the Lawson Parkway, which will come from Lawson Street down the hill to Highway 169, that'll give the fire department access to make a right and then go down that road too. So pretty excited about this. It's been a lot of work. The fire chiefs have been very, very helpful with this. The project manager, Pete Baker, has been a wealth of knowledge. The architects are very well respected. That's what they do as fire station. I think most of you can remember Chief Barlow, who was here for years and did lots of stations. He always told me, if we could ever get this architect, these are the guys I would want to hire. And those are the guys that Oak Point listened to him and went and contracted with those guys. So, that's what they do. They do fire stations, and they listen to us really about, we want this to be as maintenance free as possible. So the inside, the floors will be a stained concrete, really, you know, I'm letting the assistant chief and the chief pick out all that stuff inside to make it, for the two of you that have been a volunteer fireman, to make it as much fireman proof as we can. They can be rough on things. But that's kind of where we're at with this. High level, just to look. I didn't think you guys needed to, get involved in the R value of the insulation or any of that kind of stuff, those technical things, which will get reviewed by community development. But we're hopeful by the end of the month or the first part of February that the set of plans will be coming in, and we'll start the next process. And then we'll be bringing some stuff forward to the council to accept the proposal and to accept this mechanism that we're going to go through to acquire the fire station and for the new lot. But is there any questions? Anybody got a question?
Well, maybe I could have Brenda unshare her screen so I can see everybody.
Okay.
So I think Council Member De Leon had her hand up earlier. No, that was an accident.
No, I think it was just an accident.
Okay. Anybody else have a question? Council Member O'Donnell?
I just have just a couple comments. One is I did see this at the public safety meeting, and so we had a little bit more time to do a deeper dive. And I know the chief has been engaged with the design quite a bit too. And it looks like it's a very efficient design. It's low maintenance, so long-term costs. I did express a little concern about the clear stories that are up high. That might be a little bit of issue to keep clean. I do know that architecture firm, they are a very good architecture firm. They do like the clear stories and big timber and stuff like that. But they do a very good job with fire stations. So I think we're getting a very good design that's going to fit with that community for the long term. So it should be a great community asset.
Council Member De Leon.
I suppose I will contribute a little bit, though, that I do really appreciate the walkthrough, and just wanted to also commend, actually, the fact that we completely redesigned a lot of this to really fit in with a sense of neighborliness with the project. So I really just wanted to shout that out and echo that a little bit. That's a really good indication of, I think, some good planning. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next with the building. But thank you for that.
Council Member Deedy.
So, Andy, I'm sure when you were on council, discussion on getting a fire station out in this area was then there as well. You know, for the 9 years I've been on council, it's been discussed and debated and trying to find the funding and everything. So, you know, it's fabulous to see, you know, Oak Point and the city working together, and the residents are going to benefit tenfold from this. And it's exciting to see the new phase that it's moving into now, and getting this fire station to be not just a concept or, you know, a thought in everybody's mind in the city and the council, but actually moving forward to being a reality. So, again, thank you for, you know, Chief Smith, the fire department, Andy, Oak Point, the mayor, you know, everybody that's been working on this, moving this forward. I know it's not easy. I know it's changed locations. Now you got to do the lot adjustment. But, you know, everybody can be proud to see that this is coming through. And again, you know, the citizens, you know, this is huge for all of us on this end of Black Diamond. You know, we don't have that great a response time. So, you know, it's going to be a lifesaver. So looking forward to it going through. Thank you.
As a council member, Didi, as a former firefighter and as I was, I remember, I'm going to date myself here, so if you just indulge me for a minute. I remember when I came out of recruit training, and they told me, I'll tell you in a minute, they told me, yep, we're going to build a fire station in the next couple of years. And that was in 1983. So in 83 was when I was a fireman, and they said, well, so this has been a passion, I know, for myself and for Councilmember Didi for a long time, to actually have a really good station. So I'm pretty personally, as a staff member, I feel honored that the mayor let me work on this and bring it to this. But just as a individual and also as a citizen here, we're working very hard to make this something that we can all be very, very proud of. So And thank you, council, for your support, because I know at times it's, these are big money decisions. You know, this is a multi-million dollar thing and fire impact fees and the whole way that was put together. But we're going to build you something you're proud of and the community can be very proud of. So that's all I had to share. If anybody.
Thank you, Mr. Williamson. So if there's no further questions, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Bye.